B-Pod Studios.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord.
Pandemic. All people want to do is laugh. They want to get a chuckle from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rich, what do we have for them today?
Well, there's been, you know, a couple things that have been helping us get through this. Obviously, these clips, and we'll get to this next one in just a moment. But, you know, in this sad, sad quarantine world, there is one gentleman's videos that have been my happy place. There's a guy, and I believe they were probably all recorded before this whole COVID-19 thing happened. But there's a guy who is, his whole thing is that TikTok sucks, first of all. TikTok's the worst. Every time you see a TikTok video, it's just like girls dancing together. And they're like, oh, look, we're syncopated. And then, oh, it's Gronk doing it with a girl. Ah. Like, I don't understand. I don't, it's not for me to. It's obviously geared towards like 17 or 18 year old girls. Like, that is the TikTok audience. But there's one guy on TikTok that absolutely rules. And this is a guy, his whole thing, every one of his videos, is him going into places like Walmart and grabbing the little thing, the PA, the phone that you can talk like, Jeff, please come to the front desk. Jeff, go to the front desk. He grabs that phone and just farts into it. And I'll just give you a little example. And they're like 4 second long videos. It's him just grabbing it and farting it. And it sounds like this.
Now that is that could easily be brushed off as just being crude,
yeah.
But that is a serious talent.
Oh, I mean, because the farts, first of all, have to be like really strong. Second of all, he finds the moment when everyone walks away from where these little phones are, when no one's looking, he just grabs it, hides it behind his rear end, waits for about 3 seconds, maybe to build up pressure, and then. It's my favorite thing. Well, it's he's on the
gotta
internet
be,
right now.
He's got to be one of these guys whose butt can swallow air.
I mean, it sounds like it. That's impressive.
Because the power to, like, sit in your car and wait until you have to fart, then walk into the store, find the microphone and fart into it, would be really remarkable.
And the echo throughout the store. And you just see people shopping, like, looking up at the speakers.
Yeah, is there any kind of, like, after the fart? Like, any kind of reaction?
I'm telling you, just like TikTok, they're only, like, 10 seconds long, max. And the whole video is just him, like, walking up, grabbing the phone, putting it down there, waiting a couple of seconds, and then just letting it rip. And that's the end of it.
I want to have a gay marriage with this man.
I know. His videos are my happy place right now.
Now, how does one find the fart man?
Well, I just tweeted out of one of his videos, and you can you can see it. I just tweeted one out, and it's brilliant. I mean, this guy he's as they said, they're really quick, and I don't think he's from here either.
Does he have a look on his face?
No, well, in like some of the ones you could see it, but in like the particular one that I just tweeted out, he's looking the other direction. You see the back of his head, but so you can see where exactly the phone is in relation to his butt. But I mean, he gets right in there.
Because sometimes the public fart is as much about the face as is the actual fart.
That's what it's like. But this was like effortless. The way he does it is just like effortless. It's like breathing for him. He just walks up, looks the other way.
Because Antonio Brown,
yes.
Like half of why that's so funny is that he just got this mischievous look on his face, like he's the cat who ate the canary.
But when he does it at first, he's just like normal, and then when it finally goes out, he just looks up and says a smile. He's just like, hey, hey. Somebody said that's perfect for Brass Monkey. I think we've done that one before.
Yeah, I think we've done it. I mean, that is a tuba. If you were to think of it, if you were in a parade and you made me equate it to an instrument, I would put tuba. He could follow around a fat guy.
Well, it's almost like the Fat Albert theme, wasn't there? Like,
I don't even know
where that is. I don't think I have Fat Albert's theme, but either way, I mean, hang on, let's see if this is it, Fat Albert, and let's see.
Yeah.
Hey! It's Fat Albert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you.
It doesn't make sense after the intro.
Yeah.
If anybody, by the way, I think he's from like Spain. I think the guy is like from because
well,
all of his videos. Just fly him in. I would do that, especially now when like you know everyone needs a laugh in the stores. You know, things are very tense.
Yeah, you know, you got your mask on. Which, by the way, my daughter has made our mask. But if you have your mask on. And you know you're in the store and you're obviously it's uncomfortable for everyone and you're trying to keep your distance and there's a man who farts into the microphone. I think that you know what I think that is? I think that's God's work. I think that is a man.
It's God's plan. Yes.
Yeah, he's doing a great service because maybe as a society we look at each other and we go, you know what? Maybe it's worth keeping it on going. You know, if we have things like the guy farting into the microphone at Walmart, maybe it is worth going.
Going. If anyone knows, because these videos are all scattered, like I can't find the actual guy, but I always come across him whenever I see him. Like this guy's got like 50 of these videos. I'll take them all. If anyone knows where they are, just send them to me because every single one, like they all have different nuances that make them different than the next. You know, it's not like watching the same movie over and over. Oh, it's like you know, it's like the MC, it's like the Marvel Universe. Everyone's got a different personality to it. You know.
All right. So you've tweeted this out.
Yes.
Okay. But it's not the TB12 goat thing. It's where is it? I don't see it. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Just click on the TB12 goat thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Click on that video and you can see him.
His name is Julio.
Yep.
He is from a different land.
On that video, I think we might have cut off the beginning because there's even like a little like warm up squeak, like when he first puts it there, it's like.
Well, he just gets right down to business. I mean, talk about a lack of emotion. This guy's been there before. he knows exactly where he's got to go. He's not fat.
No.
No, he's very thin, and he's down to business. There's not a lot of effing around. He just goes farting into microphones.
One of our very nice female listeners just tweeted us and said, fart jokes must be a guy thing. Do any TNR ladies find this funny? Glad you guys found a happy place in this nightmare, though. And to that I say, I will never not find farts funny.
No, farts are funny.
No, there will always be. And as a matter of fact, my wife finds them funny, except when they're for me. She's not a big fan of that, I don't think.
No, I've never heard my wife fart. And I have not. And my kids sometimes say that she does, and I say, I refuse to believe that. But no, I will never apologize for playing a fart on the radio. Never, never.
All right, so so big.
Of course, Nancy Grace when she farted on TV.
Yeah, Nancy Grace and her. She was all dolled up. She was changing her image, and then... All right, we'll be back, and then we will have that. We'll have that very good.
Okay, here's the one with the warm-up. Okay, here's the full cut. Okay, let's see. Right. No pun intended. Here's a little... At the beginning, here. Somebody said all I could think of is he's communicating like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
He's reaching out to the King Midas.
The great beyond.
All right. We will be back in just a moment with something special.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what do we have for the people today?
Well, you know, this is something that I might even think that we could have started this trend. It seems that during the quarantine, there's been a lot of play-by-play guys like Joe Buck and other people who've been taking requests to do play-by-play of things that aren't normal sports. And Joe Buck even had to say, stop sending me your adult videos. I'm not going to do play-by-play of that. But... it was years ago, and unfortunately, this would have been right about the time where at Game 3 or 4 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins, I'm sure, would have been on a tear. Still kind of pissed that this whole season looks like it's not going to continue, but either way, let's go to one of our all-time favorites. Mr. Dave Gosher goes to the movies.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and we are playing a game, Rich. And how's this thing all go?
Dave Gosher, play-by-play voice of your Boston Bruins here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Boy, has he been busy this year. He's going to be doing play-by-play, but it's not going to be of a hockey game. It's going to be of a scene from a sports movie, or just any movie for that matter, and he'll be doing play-by-play of what he's watching. We're going to call it Gosh Goes to the Movies. It's that easy. We will play you a clip of Ghost doing play-by-play, and you tell us what movie he's watching at that point.
All right, let's meet our contestant. His name is Paul. Paul, where are you from?
Paul, it's Paul. Hey, guys. Hey, I'm from Boston.
Hey,
all right,
up,
well,
man?
Obviously, you get the show. You knew the Hey, Guys, Hey thing, which is from the Gunner. So let's not get any more bogged down in semantics. Here we go. This is Dave Gosher calling a famous scene from, is it safe to say, a sport movie?
For the most part. You can go outside a little bit outside of sports.
All right. Well, give me a break. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is a sports movie.
All right. What movie is Dave Gosher doing play-by-play for?
What an atmosphere between the Chiefs and the Patriots. It's a sold-out crowd here in Charlestown, and there's some menacing figures with tape holding their glasses together, and one of them has just clotheslined one of the Patriots at center ice in the warm-up. And a vicious scene here. Everyone's dropped the gloves, and there's no officials on the ice to break it up. They'll have to get police out here. They may need a security escort out of the building on their way to jail, and all one of the Hanses is trying to do is listen to the song.
I'm looking at a
All right. That is fairly obvious.
Name that movie that Dave Gosher is doing play-by-play of.
That sounds like Slapshot.
That is Slapshot. Congratulations, boy. Hey, we were talking about this. Gosher is unbelievable.
He's awesome.
This is all off the top of his head,
he's
too.
He's just looking at it, watching it, and just doing play-by-play. Right
all
there.
Right. Well, this is he's got a skill not many people have. All right.
Let's warms up for his games, I think.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's. What movie is this from?
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold slash Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheap shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a crane kick to the head of Johnny, and Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion.
Wow. Well, first
of all, a round of applause for that.
All right, first of all, I have to pot everyone down during this, but that is tremendous. Obviously, that was what?
The Karate Kid.
All right, let's continue. Dave Gosher, the fantastic voice of the Boston Bruins. What movie scene is he calling play-by-play of here?
What a day here in San Diego. 85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and a huge beach volleyball matchup. About 12 people sitting in wooden bleachers. Maverick and Goose taking on the Iceman and Slider. Everybody shirtless but Goose, understandably so. Maverick a long way away from the days of Scientology. What a matchup here. Maverick with one final vicious spike. Maverick with the t-shirt back on his way to meet Kelly McGillis. Maverick has arrived at Kelly McGillis's house on the beach. He is way late for dinner, but nonetheless, score!
And obviously that was what movie?
Top Gun.
Yeah.
Everybody shirtless but Goose, understandably.
I'm going to say Anthony Edwards didn't have that bad a body. Isn't that Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Anthony Edwards' body? First of all, he's got 2 feet on all those guys.
He was way more muscular in that movie than he was in ER, so that's a good point.
Well, ER, he played an everyman. All right, here we go. Let's not get caught up in my crap. All right, what movie is Dave Gosher calling a scene from?
Al Capone, along with everybody else, in full black tie tuxedos. But Capone does not look like he's in a good mood as they sit around this big banquet table. He's got a baseball bat in his hand, and it looks like he's pondering who's going to get this in the back of the skull. Gesturing to everybody, pointing with his left index finger, someone is going to get this. It does not look good. One of his henchmen putting a cigar in his mouth, and he'll take the bat to the back of the head. After messing up one of his important orders, boy, was that a big mistake.
All right, that is not a sport film.
Well, it's all baseball.
Well, it's difficult for most people. This one is difficult for most people. I would not have gotten this, but a mob film. Robert De Niro is Al Capone. Any ideas?
What is it? What is it?
Ooh, I'm going to just take a shot in the dark and go Untouchables.
There you go. Hey! There you go. All right.
He's got a baseball bat in his hand, and it looks like he's pondering who's going to get this in the back of the skull.
The great voice of the Boston Bruins on the radio, Dave Gosher. Is this the last one?
Yes, our final one.
All right, final one. You are perfect so far, Paul. What movie is Dave Gosher doing play-by-play of here?
The training here in Siberia well underway as Rocky Balboa gets ready to meet Ivan Drago in a big showdown. Two different methods to the training here, with Rocky literally sawing wood while Drago has every high-tech machine possible. Now Rocky literally throwing logs on the fire as a training method. Now he's trying to pull Polly on a sled, failing to do so on his hands and knees. This is in the height of the Cold War, and boy, does it look cold over there.
The second best Rocky film, Rocky IV.
It's Rocky IV. Congratulations, you were perfect 4 for 4, Paul.
Congratulations. Mr. Miyagi is ringside.
I got to tell you, Karate Kid was my favorite.
Yeah.
And that might be the favorite one of my bits involving the people. Getty Brewski.
You're sweeping the leg.
Paul, congratulations, sir.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there
Shall
you go.
Go out with Sensei and Johnny?
Yeah.
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold slash Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheek shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a clean kick to the head of Johnny. And Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion. Here we are in the packed streets of London. The gold medal on the line. The race walking title here today. The leader, Valerie Borchin of Russia, moving at a mile a minute, has evidently lost his balance, slowly tumbling down to the ground, and slowly but surely losing control of himself in more ways than one. That looks like it is. That is human excrement. Borchin disqualified for human excrement. Back to Siberia he goes.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a hot, lazy spring afternoon. Time to crank up the AC and maybe take a midday nap. What will put me to sleep? This will do the trick. It's a radio show on television. What the hell's the point? Who in their right mind would watch this mess? Apparently, people that buy the aluminum wallet. Looks like the two hosts are arguing the same point. They're very loud and very, very angry. You're right, Mike. You're right, Mike. My head is going to explode. And what's with all the sanitary products? Disinfectant wipes all over the place. Hospital emergency rooms aren't this clean. Whoa, there's a third member of the band. How did you sneak in? He's trying to make a point, but the other two are still agreeing about the same thing 20 minutes later. The man with a squeaky voice. I'm watching him on television, and he's watching a television. We have entered another dimension. Well, I was looking to fall asleep, and if you'd like to take a nap too, this will do it. Fact, not opinion. James Stewart, don't kill me.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and the stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Yep, well, the quarantine episode where everyone broadcast from home on SNL was interesting to watch. Unlike ESPN's televised horse competition last night. It was Yep, that's right. So, unlike that cluster F of a product, SNL's risk was one that I thought was worth taking. One of the biggest surprises was the unannounced host, in quotes, Tom Hanks, who really only appeared at the beginning to do a monologue and then introduced the other surprise, musical guest Chris Martin of Coldplay. He was a little part of Tom Hanks's big opening for the show.
But why me as host? Well, for one, I have been the celebrity canary in the coal mine for the coronavirus. And ever since being diagnosed, I have been more like America's dad than ever before, since no one wants to be around me very long, and I make people uncomfortable. I was first diagnosed down in Australia. They use Celsius instead of Fahrenheit when they take your temperature. When they come in and they say, you're 36, which seemed very bad to me, but it turns out 36 is fine. 38 is bad. So basically, it's how Hollywood treats female actors. This suit, this is the first time I've worn anything other than sweatpants since March 11th.
You know, it's weird. I've gotten used to watching some TV without, like, the live studio audience. Like, John Oliver, I've watched a lot of his stuff, and it's weird. It's weird at first, but then you just kind of get used to it. And so the going to SNL and watching, like, an opening monologue with no people in the studio didn't seem as awkward, because I've kind of seen a couple things like that before. But the show itself started off as bad as it could with the worst segment of the night. For some reason, they chose Pete Davidson. They basically all made individual skits. hits or a couple that had them together. And it started off with Pete Davidson doing this like fake rap video called This Is a Drake Song. And it had no jokes. Like there weren't any jokes in it. And I was like, why would you? They're obsessed with Pete Davidson. Maybe it's because he's got like a lot of like followers on Instagram or
That's
something.
That's exactly
and
why.
And they thought he'd tweet out the video. But it was, I remember turning to my wife and going, this is going to be a disaster. And then Kate McKinnon did like this working out with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which wasn't
That's
that good.
That's the one thing I saw. I thought it was funny.
It was fine, but I mean, it was everything after that I thought was really good. Like they did one segment with Zoom and the problems with Zoom at your office, and like it had me belly laughing. As a matter of fact, they also did the Weekend Update, which was great. Your guy Larry David showed up and did a Bernie Sanders break. That was pretty good. I thought it was funny. He had some good
lines. Does is yell in his real voice.
Pretty much, yeah. But Larry David's funny.
It's a good point.
No, I think Larry David's brilliant, but I don't think that his Bernie Sanders impression is very good.
Well, it was a good break. There were good jokes in there. And then, of course, they had Alec Baldwin call in. Now, they did do one thing that was kind of strange. When they did Weekend Update, for some reason, you know, you had Colin Jost on one side and Michael Che on the other. And the only thing that they did that kind of drove me crazy was they had an audience. There were people who were listening, but you couldn't see their faces. You could just hear them. And there were parts where, I'm not kidding you, there was a part where Alec Baldwin was delivering some of his lines over the phone, and you could hear some of the listening audience like having conversations, like over like what were supposed to be punchlines. It was like that was the one thing that was fairly distracting. But the jokes were good. I thought they did a great job. And they did have one thing that you should watch, which I might be the only one who found funny, but they had. And this probably was going to air somewhere else, but it was, you know, one of those like TV Funhouse things, and it was Middle-Aged Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's awesome. Like the beginning of it starts with like Donatello on the phone with his doctor, and his doctor's about to tell him that he's got cancer, and he's like eyes are like welling up, and he goes, "Yeah, but it looks like you're okay." And you see him go, "Huh?" And he goes, "Middle-Aged Mutant," and the theme just comes in after that. Like all of them are like suicidal now. Every one of the Ninja Turtles. One guy's in trouble with the mob because he keeps betting on golf. It's good. I mean,
it's the Joe Murray story.
Pretty much. It's the Joe Murray story as a Ninja Turtle. But I thought that it was a risk worth taking. They did a pretty good job with that one. So good. Congratulations.
It's the first one that the AV Club hasn't done. The only way I see Saturday Night Live is that the AV Club has a rundown afterwards with all the sketches, but they didn't do it, I guess, on Sunday. So I haven't. The only one I saw was Kate McKinnon, which I actually thought was funny because when she did the shoulder presses holding Q-tips, I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Everyone, I mean, they had to all use stuff around their house, and some of it was kind of like the Zoom skit was the best one. That's one, if you're going to go watch any of them, or the Middle-Aged Mutant Ninja Turtles, that was pretty good. But, I mean, as far as what they did at home, like, I was impressed. It's a lot to ask somebody, and they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that more than once.
Well, I don't think they want to do that more than once. I think this was something that they were just like, all right, let's give them something, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah.
So we shall see. So Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, John, you've been talking a little bit about this. Doesn't sound like things are going too well between these guys. Matter of fact, so much so that after this season is done, there might be a little bit of a rift-a-roo. One of them might want to get off the Utah Jazz. And think about it. Remember, Rudy Gobert was the guy who touched all the microphones, got it, right. You know, got everyone sick, the first one who shut down the entire league. And apparently, because he was messing around, Donovan Mitchell also tested positive for the coronavirus.
Right.
And so Gobert was asked about this. I think he did an interview with, I believe it was ABC's Good Morning America, and he said it's true that Donovan Mitchell and I didn't speak for a while after that. And he goes, but we finally spoke a few days ago. And he said, it's not about being unprofessional. You know, everyone's got different relationships. There's people who are married. It's never perfect. And he goes, for me and my teammates, it's far from perfect. And then you had Donovan Mitchell ended up saying not too much longer after, he goes, I got to be honest with you, it took me a while to kind of cool off. And I read what he said and I heard what he said. He goes, I'm glad he's doing okay. I'm glad I'm well. I'm just really happy, to be honest, that it wasn't the entire team that got sick. But apparently Mitchell is so pissed off that there might be a situation where one of them has to leave the team. And it's not going to be Donovan Mitchell. It's going to be Rudy Gobert, correct?
Who, by the way, is a two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he's really, really good, and he's making I think both of them are in the last years of their contract after next season, and Mitchell's in his rookie year. Both of them are going to get paid really soon. So I think
but if you got to choose, you choose Donovan Mitchell, right?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You do. Gobert, yes. Gobert is like 5 years older, so I'd say yes, Mitchell.
And he's also a specialist.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He's not one of those guys who can step out and knock down threes. He's a throwback. Yeah. Yes.
Donovan Mitchell is an all-star. I mean, he's
yeah, he's a special player. Yes.
Yeah, he's a special player.
And he's got youth on his side, as you said, too. So Ronda Rousey just continues to not make any friends. She did an interview with Steve O. Like, he did, like some random podcast.
Have you ever seen, it's on YouTube, have you ever seen the Steve O documentary? It's unbelievable.
I've seen the video that he made called Don't Try This at Home, like years ago, when he was still in Jackass. No. It was early stuff.
No. It's really disturbing. Okay, so like nitrous, you can put nitrous. I've taken nitrous out of balloons in the past, but I've never. But there's cartridges of nitrous that you put in like this like thing that looks like a gun, and then you inhale it, and then you get, because with nitrous you get high for like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't stop doing them. Like, he does them like for a half an hour, so Jesus. He's like barely breathing oxygen. And like, and he's doing so. Oh, it's crazy. Oh, is he effed up? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he built a half pipe in his apartment, and was like slamming into the neighbor's wall. Yeah, it's if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. It's a Steve-O thing, and oh yeah, not good.
Well, somehow he got an interview with Ronda Rousey on his Wild Ride with Steve-O podcast and asked, hey, are you coming back to the WWE? And she said some stuff that a lot of WWE fans did not like.
I love the WWE. I have had such a great time. I love all the girls in the locker room. Like, hell yeah, like running out there, you know, and having like big fights for fun is just the best thing, you know. Like, I love choreography, I love acting, I love theater, and it's live theater, and it's one of the last forms of live theater, and it's so fun. But I was doing it basically part-time, and I was away from home over 200 days out of the year. And wow. When I did get home, I was so sleep deprived. People think, oh, you're only wrestling as much as you see you on TV, but they don't realize that there's like 3-4 other days of live shows during the week. I was only home a day and a half a week.
Man.
And then the thing is, like, I love performing. I love the girls. I love being out there. But at the end of the day, I was just like, F these fans, dude. My family loves me and they appreciate me. And I want all my energy to go into them.
Mm. Hey, so the James Stewarts of the world did not
watch
like
it, Rousey. What are you? Yeah. You're breaking the third wall. It's real.
Fake fights? What are you talking about? It's all really, real.
You never even took falls.
Right. She's not a technical wrestler. Like, what was his name?
Bruno Sammartino.
That's
you.
Right. Bruno Sammartino.
He was the greatest technical wrestler. He could put you in, he could twist you like a pretzel.
So they did not like that very much.
What did they not like about that, to be honest with you?
They said F these fans, and they ended up doing a backlash.
They didn't understand the context of that?
Yeah, they did not like that.
The wrestling fans missed the context of that? Mm-hmm. Is that what she was saying? F these fans, I want to be with my family?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Well, that's unfortunate. You can't have any perspective of that. That you just take it as that she disliked you very much.
Yep.
She has glowing praise of the WWE, and then she says, "F these fans, I got to be with my family." And of course, that is something to take to heart.
Well, she ended up putting a big message on her Instagram. That said, anyone who is outraged by me calling pro wrestling fake fights for fun has never been in a real fight. Well, yeah. While you were tiptoeing around and bruising some pro wrestlers' huge soft egos, no one is thinking about all the real fighters you're insulting when pretending pro wrestling is somehow on the same level of realism.
Shut up.
Now you're digging in.
Shut up.
She said, yes, I understand. Wrestling
Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
he would cut his forehead.
He would. He said, yes, I understand. Wrestling 300 days a year for years on end is incredibly tough on the body, But do you know what would happen if you got in 300 real fights a year? You'd be dead.
Well, Bret Hart did it.
Yes, he did.
His dad would stretch out people in the basement.
Ungrateful, she calls them.
Which I still don't get. What that means.
Don't get that at all, do you?
Bret Hart would hear people squealing in pain.
Yep.
And I don't know exactly why.
So you, John, you might know more details about this, because as of last night, this story just sounds like something that the cops made disappear. So there were reports and there were pictures that came out of Dak Prescott and I believe Dez Bryant were out together at a gym, and then all of a sudden Dak Prescott hosts a birthday party for a friend on Friday night. At one point, 30 people attended, and on TMZ, they posted a picture where it sure as hell looks like there's a ton of people there.
Yep.
The photos have like a table set for like a meal that would have had everyone sitting elbow to elbow. It looks like a large group of people. And then apparently, like, the cops showed up and said there was nothing going on, which makes me think that I don't think that there is a team in this league that's more protected by the police.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what you need Dallas to read Cowboys. Into this.
Oh, yeah. You think they're going to arrest a bunch of Cowboys?
Yeah. Everyone I read this morning basically said the cops decided to kind of leave it alone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they had the White House. I mean, the cops knew what was going on back in the Super Bowl days.
Yeah, Rich, you live there. You know what the deal is.
I mean, they are the most sheltered. I mean, to be a Dallas Cowboy, you can get away with almost anything while you're there. And you're obviously a rock star anyway because you play in the NFL, but you are a rock star. Just think about it. Every time you look at, like, jersey sales, despite them being awful for all of these years, they're still, like, right there. Like, it's like Patriots, Steelers, and Cowboys always sell the most merchandise. And unlike, you know, the Patriots and the Steelers, the Cowboys haven't won jack in forever. Right. So they can get away with anything. The world is theirs. If I was an NFL player, I'd want to play for Dallas. Hell yeah. You know, it seems like a fairly loose environment. You know, is that really a lot of accountability?
Well, everyone's considering getting paid? Jerry Jones rented a tour bus to go to their final Super Bowl so we could have strippers on it.
I know.
It kind of tells you the tale of the debauchery that was going on at that time. Again, Boys Will Be Boys is the book to read. I forget who wrote it, but it's we had the guy on twice because there were so many stories about that team. Able to get away with.
Speaking of Jerry Jones, A Tale of Two Owners here, did you see, I believe it was the New York Daily News, wrote that huge thing they had on the front page. It was like, please buy us, Robert Kraft. And it was a plea to Robert Kraft to buy the Mets. And it's kind of funny when you read it. It said, because they talk about all the goodwill that he just got from delivering all those masks and all this stuff. And now all of a sudden everyone's like, hey, maybe this guy can actually, look what he's done for the Patriots. Yeah, spend your money here.
Yeah, the biggest metropolis one of the biggest metropolises in the world has two of the worst owners in the world.
And it's true, and
it's like the Mets, right, John? They're like a conglomerate, right? There's like a million of them, and they can't get it together. It's like the old Hawks owners that ended up having to sell because they couldn't get it together. So yeah, they have Dolan, and then they have the morons that are running the Mets.
Yeah.
So yeah. So if maybe Kraft would do that. But then he would be a traitor going to New York.
Oh, he'd get killed if he did it here. I mean, he would. There's just fans that would not want that to happen, even though it's a baseball team. It's just that it's Vegas, New York. I mean, you know, people get pissed, although for other reasons. You know, people get pissed at the Jacobs Studio out of Buffalo. You know what I mean? It's like it's like everyone has this imagination that you have to be completely 100% one region of the country. Lord knows the
Browns owner is. Considering all the time he spends in Cleveland.
Sure, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's not in Knoxville every single day of the year.
I'm a nice man.
Brother's the governor.
Mm.
All right. I'm a nice man. Well, listen. Enjoy your day today. If you
That's
get a chance.
Make me laugh all day.
If you get a chance, thank the people at the stores by farting into the microphone.
Although, I heard you could pass the coronavirus through farts.
Is that the case?
I'm not kidding you. I think that's an actual thing.
I was told yesterday that if you ride a bike, that, like, your fumes can go like 20 feet and give someone the coronavirus. Listen, I don't know. What do I know? I mean, I virtual happy hours and crap. All right. Enjoy Zolak and Bertrand. That'll do it for us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.